question was asked, when we speak about humility, what's the balance between knowing one's strength and being humble? Does a humble person really not think they're worthy of anything? David HaMelech says, I'm a worm, and yet he fights the wars, and he kills he who dares rebel against him. So in relation to God, he says, I'm a worm. but what is the balance that one's supposed to have? So humility, it is usually understood that humility is... humility is that a person can know his strengths, but he also realizes that God has a great hand in those strengths. There's a world of difference between a person being a top athlete or a top learner or a top mathematician and taking the credit for himself, and a person realizing he's the top, but saying, I know that at the end of the day, there's only so much that I did, and most of it are skills and situations that God put me in. If I'd been born in Mogadishu, fighting for my life, I don't know if I'd know how to do 13 times 27. I'd be too busy figuring out how I'm getting away from the warring tribes, if I wasn't one of them myself. So if we think about it, then humility is really a form of honesty. It's not dishonesty, on the contrary, it's true honesty. When I can recognize the strengths, but I don't let it go to my head because I realize I have a role in this world, someone else has a role in this world. And maybe they're fulfilling their role better than I am. Because maybe the guy who was born blind or the guy who was born retarded has a simpler role to fulfill and maybe he's living up to it. Am I living up to mine? If I was given more skills, then I have more to live up to. There's more expectation of me. If a person was given more wealth, then there's more expectation of it. He has to do something with that wealth. So humility is not a denial of one's strength, but rather a recognition that most of the gifts we have are gifts. They're just that, and they come with a responsibility. And as such, there's no reason to look down at other people or to put down other people. On the contrary, there's a reason to appreciate other people and realize our own obligation. Now, sometimes there's a confusion between humility and self-worth. People think that if they're humble, then they let other people trample all over them. And that's not so either. A person has to have self-worth. A person has to have a backbone. A person has to be able to stand his ground. If someone comes and wants to hit you, then maybe you should hit him first or ensure that he doesn't get away with hitting you. If someone wants to cheat you, then you shouldn't let him get away with it. We do have a responsibility to stand up for our rights. That's a basic responsibility that the Torah assumes everyone knows, that everyone has to stand up for themselves. You don't let people get away with ripping you off. You don't let people hurt you. And that's our responsibility. And you see that it's a given, as you read Tanakh. That's a given in people's lives. It's a new concept that maybe Jews think is a Jewish concept, but really there are only very few people that are on that level where they can really forgo their honor and it's the right thing for them to do. Where they can say, you can trample all over me, and by them it's a healthy and correct thing to do because they're on such a high level, like the Chafetz Chaim, where someone steals from his tree and he runs after him saying, it's Hefker, you can have it, you can have it. Okay, on the Chafetz Chaim's level, fine. But for the average person, someone comes to pick off his tree, he yells at him and picks up his stick and says, no, you don't get your filthy hands off my tree. That's my tree. There's no reason I should let him pick the trees off my tree. A person has to have that healthy ability to stand up and to recognize what are his rights. This is a balance. On the one hand, being humble and kind, and on the other hand, not being people's doormat. That's a balance. Being able to give and being able to willfully give. And there's a very big difference between a person who gives out of weakness and a person who gives out of strength. A person who knows how to say, this works for me and this doesn't work for me. I will gladly give, but I also know how to say, no, I can't do this. People who give out of weakness will give when it's wrong to give. They won't know how to shut the phone when their family is waiting. They won't know how to say, I can't answer you right now. People are waiting for me. They won't know how to refuse the neighbor when the neighbor says, hey, can you help me paint my garage? When really they promise their kid they're going to take him out to lunch today. And they promise their wife that they'd help around the house. But the neighbor asked, how can I say no? That's a person that's helping out of weakness. That's wrong. A person has to be helping out of strength. He has to have healthy self-worth. With healthy self-worth, a person can smile and say, I'm very sorry. Let's figure out a different time because today I can't do it. And he doesn't have to get uptight. There's the opposite extreme of a person who wants to be helpful. And when you ask him, so they get all uptight because they can't, because they promised their wife or they promised their kids. They get all nervous. It's funny. There was once a psychologist who I was on the phone with. And I was discussing with him a patient who we were trying to help together. And he couldn't talk anymore. So he got all uptight, started yelling at me and hang up the phone. What'd you yell at me for? What did I do? You can't talk to me anymore. Say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't. So a day or two later, he sends me this long email explaining himself psychologically, telling me, you know, I'm very sorry, but I got all uptight because you were asking me and I couldn't. And so I had this contradiction within myself. What am I going to do? So I yelled at you and hung up the phone. So I was very impressed that he apologized. But the truth is that we all have to develop within ourselves the healthy self-confidence that you can say, I'm sorry, at this point I have to go. You notice how today people very often tell you, I don't want to keep you. Don't say you don't want to keep me, because if I didn't want to stay, I'd say, I'm sorry, I have to go. You don't want me to keep you. So say, I can't continue, I'm sorry, I have to go. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm always surprised when people say, I don't want to keep you. Oh, you thought you were keeping me? You weren't keeping me. If I didn't want to stay, I would say, I'm sorry, I got to go. You weren't keeping me. There's a healthy self-confidence that a person has to develop, and with that, the desire to help others. Not to be proud, but to have a healthy self-confidence. Now the next step. Part of that healthy self-confidence is also that a person realizes that there's a certain healthy, true recognition that they need. If you walked into this room and everyone would say, hi Jim, you'd say, I'm not Jim, I'm Yaakov. And they'd say, no, you're not Yaakov, you're Jim. We know you. You're the guy who cleans the toilets. And you'd say, no, I'm not. I'm Yaakov, I came here to learn. Come on, Jim, stop playing the game. So you know what someone had in Jewish history? There was a phenomenal sage named Choni HaMe'agel. He was tremendously pious, and when there was no rain, he went outside and he stood and he drew a circle in the sand and said, God, I'm not walking out of the circle until you give rain. And towards the destruction of the second temple, he was always wondering about the first temple. It says that when they returned to Zion after the destruction of the first temple, so it says they looked back at the 70 years and they said it all seemed like a dream. So Choni was always wondering, could someone dream for 70 years? What does that mean? It looked like a dream. So he was sitting down one day and God made the rocks grow all around him. And he fell into a deep sleep and he slept for 70 years. And during those 70 years, the temple was destroyed. And people were sure that he was killed at war during the wars. In Josephus, he writes that Choni HaMe'agel was killed in the wars outside Jerusalem. Everyone was confident he's dead. And after 70 years, he awakens. And he comes back. He comes back to Israel, to a destroyed temple, to a whole new country. And he meets his grandson. He came back, he came to his home, and he asked, is Choni's son around? So they said, no, his son's not around. So he asked, is his grandson around? So they said, yeah, his grandson's around. So he went to his own grandson and said to him, I'm Choni HaMe'agel. So the guy says, right, and I'm Winston Churchill, right? He looks at him and says, right, okay. He walks into the Beis Medrash, and they're learning. And every question they have, he answers. And they're sitting there in Beis Medrash, and they're befuddled. Wow, what a genius just walked in here. We heard that a century ago, there was a sage who was this smart named Choni HaMehagel. So he hears them muttering that. They said, we heard that there was once someone so smart who could answer all the questions just like that. A century ago, his name was Choni HaMehagel. So Choni says, that's me. So no one believed him. As smart as he was, no one believed him. And the Gemara says, when he saw that they weren't treating him like Choni, here he was the top sage. You see, when they needed rain, he went out and davened, and boom, there was rain. That's a pretty big giant, and he couldn't handle it. To be around and no one recognizes him as Choni, even though they realized he's a big Talmud Chacham, you see, they had appreciation for him. He said, God, I want to die. I want to die. He couldn't live. So from this Gemara, and it's basically screaming at us, but this is the Gemara Rav Herschel Schachter quotes in his Shiurim to illustrate this point, that there's a certain amount of recognition that every healthy person needs. And there's nothing wrong with it. If no one recognizes you for anything, so then at some point, and every person has a different point, but at some point a person cannot remain healthy, he can't stay around. And there's nothing wrong with that. Meaning there's something wrong with the focus. If you focus on getting recognition, let everyone see what a tzaddik I am. There's something wrong with a person who keeps looking for praise and honor. But there's something right with a person who, this is who he is, and that simple recognition is something that he needs. There is a certain element that's a basic need of a human being. And that's part of what we were discussing earlier, that there's a healthy balance. When I speak to God, I'm a worm. I'm not even a worm. But when I speak to my fellow man, so I don't have to be proud and I don't have to be haughty, but I do have to have self-worth. I do have to have an appreciation that I'm a human being and I have certain rights. I will honor him. I will give him to the best of my ability, but I will also protect my rights and stand up for the things that are my rights. And this has to be a balance. Kindness out of strength, not out of weakness. Kindness and true humility. True humility being, again, that definition. I know my strengths, but I also don't take too much credit for them because 99% of those strengths are God's gift. There's very little that I do. But at the end of the day, I do deserve that credit for what I do. There's that balance.
Well, what about the things that he actually did? He did become, no matter whether he was a genius or not, spent the hours toiling and thought to be what he became.
So I think that's where Choni wasn't able to handle this idea that he's going to be around and no one recognizes him as Choni. Right.
I think it was because of his status, that he was just his name, that it's like, it was just, I'm Choni, I'm not the...
I don't think
of me as the great, you know, Talmud Chacham or not. Like, it's just, this is my name, this is my identity of who I am, like, can't be somebody else.
So I said the way Rav Herschel Schachter quotes it. More than that, I don't know.